Welcome to another Kingdom of God Studies. We're studying the Kingdom of God and we're studying the apocalypse in the Kingdom of God. The time, the interregnum between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. Let me explain that one more time. We're talking about the time between our Lord's first coming as our Savior and humble servant, and His time with Him coming in glory when He sets up His kingdom. So many people today don't realize that. Matter of fact, churches today, many of them don't teach anything. This pablum, evangelism only. What keeps people in church for a lifetime is studies like this. This is what puts their feet on the ground and makes them hungry for God's Word. We need to live and breathe the Word of God. And that's what we're talking about in here. We're studying the Kingdom of God and how finally God is going to progress. Through time, from eternity past, God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He planned salvation in the tabernacle. When that tabernacle was built, that was God's eternal purpose in bringing man to Himself through the salvation procured by Him. The tabernacle is a primary interpretation and a primary type. Typos is the word in Greek. A primary type of Jesus Christ and how that He gave His all and His death. From the time that Jehovah God, Jesus in His pre-incarnate self, slew those lambs in the Garden of Eden, which were their companions. You have to realize this now. After Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus in His Jehovah, in His pre-incarnate self, appeared to Adam. And they had made for themselves a homemade religion. The first religion contrary to God. Man-made religion. Adamic religion. They covered themselves with very coarse fig leaves. And made aprons out of them for themselves, it says, of fig leaves. God showed them how that all man would come to God. He took a lamb that they were friends with. This is one of their buddies that they talked with, petted every day. And He slew that lamb. Or had them slay it. This is what you did now. Slit the throat. The blood runs out, which is life, is in the blood. He skinned the animals, or showed them how to skin the animals. And they took those clothings, and they covered themselves, and that's what was going to happen. Something innocent was going to die for something guilty, and that's the whole story from Genesis through Revelation.
Amen.
Not only that, but that all of this stood, every one of those offerings. When a leper was cleansed, when a poor man, when Jesus had to be circumcised, signed the covenant. When they took Him to Jerusalem to sign the covenant of God, the Berit, they took Him and they had to take two turtle doves for Mary's cleansing and for Jesus' circumcision so He could sign the covenant. They took two turtle doves. One turtle dove they took, which you can see right outside out here. I have turtle doves out there. There's little ring-necked turtle doves. They took one of those little doves and they pinched his head off. But they didn't totally separate it. They didn't pull his head off. They pinched his head off, but it had to be connected to its body. It couldn't be totally separated because it is a type of Christ. They held that little animal as it jerked and jumped and it died and its lifeblood ran out over a basin of water that had running water in it. It was not dead water, but it's living water. It had to be stream water. And they took and they drained every blood, drop of blood as it squirted out into that basin until that little animal quit moving. And then they took the other animal, which is a type of us, and they took that live dove and they immersed it underneath that water and blood. And then they turned him loose and he flew away. God, in His predetermined counsel in eternity past, decided that we fly away and that Jesus would bear our sins. And as we're studying the book of Revelation, we see one thing. Jesus is going to win. He came first time as our Savior and our substitute and our sacrifice and our humble servant. He didn't live for himself. He lived for us. All that every drop of water he ever drank was to sustain his life only. Not for pleasure, but sustain his life. Every morsel of bread or fish or anything he ate was to sustain him to carry out that one purpose. Was to die, was to teach and call out that church, and to die for us on Calvary. That's the whole story of salvation. All the way from the garden when the first offerings were made. And then we have the defiant Cain. Cain means what? Genesis 4 and 1. And the man had sexual relationships with his wife. She caught seed, it says in Hebrew. And she brought forth a son. And she said, I have gotten et Jehovah. I have gotten et Jehovah. Or et Hadabar. I have gotten to Jehovah. She thought that she had the Messiah. But that false Messiah, that's rejection of the firstborn in it. Mm-hmm. Our first birth is rejected. When we're born into this world, we're born Adamically. We're born of the earth. We're born of the world. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And he said, how can I do this? How can I go back in my mother's womb again and be born again when I'm old? He said, if I told you spiritual things, physical things you don't understand, I tell you physical, spiritual things you don't understand them. He said, you're a master rabbi teacher. Rabbi meant what? Marilyn? Rabbi meant what? Doctor of theology. That's what rabbi meant, doctor of theology. He was a master theologian, the rabbi was. And he said, you don't know these things? Every Gentile proselyte that came to Israel to surrender his life to the service of God and to follow God's will, he had to be totally indoctrinated from the Old Testament scriptures. He had to remember the Shema. The Shema. It says in English. This says in Hebrew. Shema, Israel. And then it says, Hadabar, Eloheinu, Hadabar, Ahad. Now, see if I can get it in English. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, Jehovah our God, God of us, genitive case, case of possession. The God of us, Eloheinu, Jehovah is one. Who died on the cross of Calvary? Did the Father face death? Absolutely. Did the Son face death? Absolutely. Did the Holy Spirit taste death? Absolutely. It says in John 1 and 1. In arche ein ho logos. Kai ho logos ein proston theon. Kai ho logos ein theos. In the beginning, the absolute extremity of eternity past, the oldest verse in the Bible in time and space. In beginning, he kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. In space and time, Jesus became flesh. Kai ho logos arx again, I told John 1:14. And the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father. That word is own in Greek, brother. That's nominative, singular, masculine, present, participle, active. The one being inseparable from the Father. We're talking about one God now. Shema, Israel. Hadavar, Eloheinu. Hadavar, Ahad. The Lord our God is one. He's triune God because we're triune too, aren't we? Mm-hmm. But there's only one God. How many of you are there, Brother Ray? One. Marilyn, how many of you are there?
Three.
Okay. Carol, will you give me the right answer? We'll have two against one. How many of you are there?
Three.
One. All right. There's three entities in that one, isn't there? There are three entities in the Godhead, the triune God. But we don't have three gods. We don't have four gods. We don't have five gods. We've got one God, Aha. That's that Hebrew numeral. Now let's go and look at the book of Revelation. Our Jesus is going to bring all this about one of these days. Revelation 13 and verse 7, Satan gives the Antichrist the power to make war. And in Daniel, the seventh chapter, let's go back there first. Let's set it up in the Old Testament before we get to the New Testament. Let the New Testament explain the Old Testament, and let the Old Testament explain the New Testament, okay? The vision interpreted in verses 15 through 28 in the seventh chapter. And Daniel is all upset. He said in verse 15, he said, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit was destroyed within me." Destroyed within me. Within the midst of me, literally in the middle of me. And the visions in the middle of me, in the middle of my mind, kept on striking me out of my senses, kept on disturbing me, kept on alarming me. And I approached one of those who were standing by, and I kept on asking him the exact meaning, concerning the truth, the exact truth concerning all of this. And he told me and made clear and known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will rise from the earth. These beasts are four kings. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages. Jesus' blood is going to do that. We're talking about the four beasts, the four horrible beasts. They're going to rise and they're going to destroy and kill. But in the end, we have the calamity and then we have the solution. The calamity and the solution. Right here, he just jumped right to the solution. But the saints of the Most High will gain here forever. Now, this eternal kingdom is like a preview of coming attractions. Israel's going to be on this earth. They're going to be ruling under Christ and the church above the earth. And they're going to do that for how long, Brother Ray? Kilia Eter, 1,000 years. Millennium, for 1,000 years. The word millennium or millennium is in the Bible. And that's only previews of coming attractions. That's only getting ready because we're going to have human beings on this earth, aren't we? Human beings. No lost humans are going to go into that millennial reign, but we're going to have human beings on this earth. Now, why is a millennial reign? Why is it there? To prove what? To prove to mankind that he's going to sin without the influence of Satan, because Satan and all of his imps are going to be in the bottomless pit. And what else? To fulfill the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant, which are unconditional covenants. Yes, a king on the earth will reign on the earth, epites geis, terra firma, for 1,000 years. And it's going to be a godly reign and a perfect reign, and there's not going to be any sin allowed on this earth. Not to stand. We'll have a perfect judge. We'll have perfect lawyers. We'll have perfect courts. We'll have perfect civilizations. All over the earth. All over the earth. No lawlessness, Brother A. Outlaws like you and me, we won't fit in real good. We'll be handcuffed. Verse 9, then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, and with its teeth like iron, and its claws like bronze. Now, you know, iron and bronze were the very toughest metals that they could come up. You know, silver and gold and lead, you know, that's soft metal. Mm-hmm. But iron and bronze, that's hard. Claws of bronze, which devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with his feet. And the meaning of the 10 horns that were on his head and the other horns which came up, the four of which three of them had fallen. Namely, the horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boast, which was larger in appearance than its associates. Have you ever noticed that all these lawyers call their buddies their associates?
Yeah.
Is that partners in crime? Here it's partners in crime.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's where we get this word lawyer business from.
Yeah.
And I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. Just killing the saints. Killing the saints. Who are the saints? What does the word saint mean? When you're born of earth the first time, you're born of earth, aren't you? When you're born a second time, you're born of what?
Heaven.
Heaven. What does the word hagios mean?
Not of this earth.
Not of earth. Not of earth. You learned that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Not of earth. Alpha negative on the front of it and earth. Not of earth. Overpowering the saints. Now we jump ahead again. Until the ancient of days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. It jumps. It tells a horrible story. And then it jumps ahead and said, we're going to win. I'll never forget so long ago. When the first time I heard this was an old darky. This is an old story from a long time ago. This is in the South. And this old Negro man, he was a custodian near a seminary. And there was a high school near the seminary. And the seminary students would go over there and work out their energies playing basketball. And this old black man would sit down there and he'd read his Bible while these boys were playing, exercising. And you know how young seminary and students are. They know everything, don't they? First 2-3 years when you go to seminary, I hated to teach those classes, but I never did teach those early classes, did it, Brother Ray?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't teach. I taught all the advanced classes.
Yeah.
I taught off the postgraduate classes when people get real dumb. When they become postgraduates, they're dumb. And so they want to listen to you. They don't want to tell you how much they know. You can't shut them up in class. How many classes in the seminary were destroyed by students that wouldn't shut up trying to show how much they knew? Well, some of these first and second year seminary students, they had to be. They come over to this old black man, and he said, what are you reading? He said, the book of Revelation. And he looked down there. He said, you understand that? He said, yep. They said, well, you do, huh? He said, yeah. Well, tell me what it means, then, if you understand it. He said, Jesus wins. That's what we're talking about today. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Through all the process and all the terrible things that's going to come up on this earth, through the testing and trial of mankind, when man is turned upon mankind, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Hallelujah. Jesus wins. Verse 23, and thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the others, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of the kingdom, 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them. And he will be different from all the previous ones and will subdue up all the 3 kings. Why is this man going to be different? What is different in his DNA than all these others? Brother Ray? What's different in the DNA of this last king? What DNA does he have?
Adam.
Genesis 3:15. He is born of Satan. He's Satan's son. We have God's son that came in this world to procure salvation. We have Satan's son that's going to come in this world to thrash it. The thrasher. The destroyer. Diabolos means to destroy. Apollyon means to destroy. Abaddon means to destroy. All the titles of Satan are evil. So the liar, the thief, the murderer, the killer. And he will speak out against the Most High God and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. Let's go think. Put your thinking cap on. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law. Every country in this world is under the constitution of that nation, isn't it?
Right.
Now, we know we've been comparing Islam and the eschatology of Mormonism, the eschatology of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the eschatology of the Bible. And we've been looking at some of these things and Catholicism. Catholicism always thought they were going to bring in the world under one roof of Catholicism, didn't they? They wanted to bring, and why? How did they do it? By force. Mm-hmm. What did Muhammad do in 570 A.D.? He witnessed the beginning of the conquering beast, the Catholic Church. How she conquered the earth and invented these stories. He left up a picture, an engraving in the Kaaba of Mary and Jesus, but he would not accept Jesus as God the Son. He heard the true preaching of the Gospels in Damascus, Syria, because there were true churches there. I've been in that church, in that church house where it was there, where Paul the Apostle went and was baptized by the authority of that church. He's going to kill it. He's going to destroy it and spread it and exterminate it, but God saved him on the way. 570 A.D., he was born. By 610 A.D., he was trying to build his religion. Mm-hmm. He lived in Mecca, and he had all these peaceful verses to begin with when he lived in Mecca. And finally, he kept denouncing them and telling them that their gods were no good and telling them they had to quit worshiping their gods. And he had been an idolater. He picked out one good god, Allah, Baal, Astarte. Same deal. And that stone there in the Kaaba is what? Marilyn, you remember what that stone is?
It's from a
comet.
Yeah.
But what does Islam say that stone is? You know, Brother Ray, what is that stone? Carol, what's that stone? What do they say about that stone, that Kaaba stone?
It absorbs sin.
In Mecca. It absorbs sin, but how can it absorb sin? Why can it absorb sin? And they said it was white when it came down there. But what is it? They say it's the right hand of Allah.
I was going to say Allah, but I don't know.
Yeah, the right hand of Allah. And they go there and they have to go to this Hajj or this one-time expedition and go there and march seven times around that. All the pagans did the same thing. He didn't change much of the religion. He just cut off all these other gods, turned them into one. March around all that Kaaba seven times, and they go, and of course they go up on the mountaintops, they make sacrifices, they killed a lot of camels there. I mean, camels were killed by the thousands there. Sometimes sheep and goats, but camels mainly. And then they would go and touch the stone, and the stone would absorb their sins. Now, Islam and Judaism have the same calendar. What kind of calendar is that, Marilyn? What kind is it? Lunar calendar. We have the Christian world, so-called, if you want to call it that, Christendom world, that goes by what? The Gregorian or the Roman calendar, which is a solar calendar. Now, most of the world goes by this solar calendar today, whether they're Russia or whoever it is, okay? Except for Islam. The month of Ramadan, all of this is all lunar. By the way, 1 month a year on the Ramadan, the Muslims, they fast for that whole month. Did you know that?
Yep.
How do they fast? Do they go without eating all month long?
They do so much in the morning and so much in the evening or something like that.
It's lunar calendar. Allah was a moon god. Okay? All this moon business. And the moon usually comes out at what time? After dark. Okay. Now they fast all that month, but they don't fast. They just don't eat in the daylight hours. They eat after dark, and they eat more than they eat before. Their grocery bills always goes up high. They have great big feasts after dark. And they'll feast till morning. All the time during the night. And what are the symbols of Islam? The crescent moon and the star. Mm-hmm. They had that back. We find that God's people, God's soldiers in Israel, took those crescent moons and star off those camels and they burned them. Back before Christ. This is an old, old religion. An old, old religion. He borrowed some things from it. Now it says here, they will speak blasphemous things against the Most High. He will say there is no God but Allah. If we look at this in the Islamic point of view, I'm telling you Islam's point of view. It's not what I say Islam says. It's what Islam says. Okay? They say in the last days there are going to be an Imam Mahdi. The 12th Imam will come forward, and he will be a reluctant leader. And how old is he going to be when he comes forth? 40 years old, like Muhammad. He's going to come forth, and he's going to be a reluctant leader, like Muhammad was, because this Mahdi is going to be a direct descendant from Muhammad through his daughter. He's going to be a direct descendant from Muhammad through his daughter. And this, they say, will be the reincarnation. The very spirit of Muhammad will be in him. That God, Allah, is going to put Muhammad back in this Mahdi. Now, they've been looking for this Mahdi for years and years and years to come. That's what ISIS is all about today. That's what they're doing. All of this, what we call radical Islam, is killing people all over the world. That's what they're bringing in. They're bringing in the last caliphate. And every place they go, what do they demand of every government where they get in there? They demand to live under their own laws, don't they? And what is that law? Sharia law. Sharia law. That's according to Muhammad. The Sharia is like the Supreme Court of Islam. They don't want to live under our law. They won't live under the laws of any nation. They want to live under Sharia law, and they demand it by force and murder and terrorism. They will have a beast come forward, won't they? The beast, they say, is this monstrous-looking thing with the head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, the neck of an ostrich, the front end of a lion, the color of a leopard, the haunches of a cat, the tail of a ram, and the feet of a camel. And the joints between his legs are 20 feet. That's what they say. If it's symbolic, Islam is a religion, not a religion, but a political government. It's a worldwide political government, just like Catholicism. Catholicism means what? Universal. Islam, in this government that they have, they go into different governments and they set up a political entity in every government and they demand to be heard on their own rules with their own laws. Listen again. Every time a person, a baby is born, they speak into that baby's ear, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is a prophet. Every time they say that, according to the Bible, that's blasphemy, isn't it? There's no God but Allah. What happened to Jehovah? There is no God but Allah. The moon God. There is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is his prophet. And they say Jesus was a prophet, but he's a lesser prophet. He's a lesser prophet. And every time they speak the name Muhammad, they say, peace be upon him, or let Allah pray upon him. Or praise him. Muhammad means the glorious one, the praised one. He shares the attributes of Allah with him. Allah allows that. He will wear down the saints of the Most High. He speak out blasphemous things. He will intend to make alterations in times and in the law. In times, we're going to go from a solar to a lunar calendar, if you interpret it this way. Now, that's what Islam says they're going to do. And they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half time. How long will this great power be? When the Antichrist or the Mahdi comes first, he comes here in the first half of the tribulation period, as you look at this chart. Islam says they're going to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. And they're going to move the Kaaba from Mecca to Jerusalem. When Muhammad was in the Mecca, he had lots of peaceful verses. But when he moved into Medina, where he went in there with those three tribes of Jews and made a covenant with them, supposedly, that they would be able to respect each other's religion and everything. But that's what we call a Hudna covenant. They only make a covenant or a contract or a treaty until they become strong enough where they can break it. They get it for an advantage. He killed all those tribes. The last tribe they attacked, he killed between 600 and 900 men. They sawed their heads off in the ditch. And they tore their clothes off. They would strip them off naked. They would cut their heads off and push them in a ditch with their wives and children and everybody looking on. All these. Death, death, death. They say it stunk for years. And they say this. If you want to read about Muhammad's life, go to The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. This is an Islamic book. You can have to buy it out of England. And they will be given into his hand, and a time, times, and a time. In other words, 3.5 years. During this last 3.5 years, you know, this Mahdi, this Antichrist, is going to get along for the first 3.5 years, going to make peace, this treaty. And how long is the Antichrist going to reign? 7 years. How long is the Mahdi going to rule? 7 years, according to the Quran. These kind of coincide, don't they? Kind of like in juxtaposition. In the middle of this week, the Bible says what's going to happen? He's going to stand up and he say, he's God. Worship me. And he tells the Jews, what are the Jews supposed to do at that time, Marilyn? Flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountains. Don't pick up anything. Don't take any baggage with you. Run with your life. Run for your life. And this last 3.5 years is when the Antichrist moves into the temple and begins to slaughter wholesale. Make alterations in time. But the court will set for judgment and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. It just jumps ahead. Tells you all this bad stuff and said, Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole earth will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. All dominions will serve and obey him. And at this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming within me, within the middle of me. And my face grew pale, and I kept the matter to myself. Now, Revelation. Now, let's go back to Revelation. This sets us right up for it, doesn't it? We've looked at all these kingdoms. Last time we had a class, we talked about the kingdom, the beast that had a deadly wound, didn't it? The beast that had a deadly wound. That was revised. And for so many years, and many eschatological books and the books of Revelation, it used to say that this would be a revised Roman Empire. And they said that 200 million man army that would come against Israel was going to come out of the east. But the revised. What was the last country? What was the last empire to rule Jerusalem?
Rome.
Huh?
Rome?
No.
Ottoman.
The Ottoman Empire. It's still the Ottoman Empire. The caliphate of Islam out of Turkey. That was the last one to rule. It wasn't the Roman Empire. The Islamic Empire, the Ottoman Empire, is the last empire to rule. And its deadly blow was given in 3-3-1922. By 1924, the Islamic Caliphate was dissolved. Ever since then, Islam is trying to rise again. Islam has tried to rise again. Now, it told us a little earlier that that kingdom of that beast was killed, was taken down. But it said it would rise again. And this beast would breathe life back into that and make him walk again. Most of these beasts and things and mountains and waters are what? Mountains almost always refer to what? Kingdoms. The holy mount of God, the kingdom of God. This mountain, this government, this kingdom will rise again. And it will be a revised kingdom of the last kingdom that ruled Jerusalem. The Bible is Jerusalem concentric. They don't care about what's going on in the rest of the world, what's happening in Jerusalem, what's happening in the land of Israel. And that's where we are right now. Let's go on Revelation. And it was given to him to make war, Polemon, with the saints. And to conquer them. That word is, our word, Nikon shoes, you know, Nike shoes. That comes from the Greek word to conquer. And to conquer them. And it was given to him authority, and that means unlimited authority, unlimited power over every tribe, and people and language and nation. In other words, they're going to completely spread out from there. Islam, originally, we had the Holy Roman Empire. Well, we had the Roman Empire, which became the Holy Roman Empire under Constantine the Great, if you want to call it the Holy Roman Empire. It's still ungodly. You don't kill people and hold a knife to the sword to convert them. That's not what God does. God doesn't force people to believe. When Muhammad was in Mecca, he said, we don't force conversions. But when he went to Medina, he said, hold a knife to the throat. If they believe, okay, otherwise move it. Mm-hmm. Slit the throat. All that they have is yours. There shall be no other religion but one. Catholicism moved through the world like that, didn't they? And the theology of Catholicism changed with the time. They kept bringing in paganism into the Catholic Church. They borrowed from Judaism. They borrowed from paganism. The priests, the garments were from the priests in the Bible. The high priest, his garments, this mitre on his head and everything, this is right out of Islam. Or not Islam, but Judaism. We have that moved in, and we have all this pomp and circumstance and everything that we have in Catholicism today. All that fine golden St. Peter's Cathedral over there and everything, where the Pope gets up and blesses the whole world on television. See, you know what? The things that happen in the Bible, it's talking about media. It's talking about televised media. We will see it all over the world. When we find out that God's people are being beheaded, we're going to find out that it's seen all over the world. We talked about the two witnesses that were killed and televised all over the world. And they shall worship him, all the ones dwelling upon the earth, and of whom not it has been written the name of him in the Bible, the scroll of life. All of those that are not believers will worship the Antichrist, the Mahdi, or whoever he is. Written in the name of him in the scroll of life of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life. The one having been slain from before the foundation of the whole universe. 13 and verse 9. Eteseke us akusato. If anyone, he has an ear, let him hear, let him listen, let him shema. Shema is the Hebrew word, shema. Shema Israel. They say today, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Ahad. That's the Shema. That's Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He says unto him, let him hear. Let him hear the Shema. That Jehovah, our Elohim, is one God. Since you have ears to listen with, it would be good for you to pay attention to what I have to say in this prophecy, is what he said. If you have receptors, if you have an antenna up, in that radio room down there, I broadcast and talk and teach lessons. That's how discovertheword.com got started. People listen to me teach all over the world. And in there, I have antenna leads, transmission lines that go out to antennas. Now, if I'm on 40 meters talking, it'll be 32 and a half feet on each side. Anything less than that is going to diminish my signal and diminish the signal coming in. If I'm on 75 meters, it is 59 feet, 6 inches on each leg to be perfect at 39.13. Anything less is going to diminish it from. How about if I don't have an antenna? I've got the best receiver in the world, but I don't have an antenna. Is it going to do me any good? No. I can have an amplifier to put out 3,500 watts. It's got an Alpha 8100, an Alpha 87X, 86X port, and an Alpha 87A. Three big amplifiers in there. And they'll put out 1,500 watts all day long, 24 hours a day, and not stop. But will it do me any good if I don't have an antenna? Yep. Nope. If you've got antennas, listen. And who's going to have the antennas? Those that have been touched by the Spirit of God. And they've been saved, but now they're hiding out. They're starving. They're starving. They're dying of thirst. They're starving. Islam is after everyone. They have control of all things. During this last 3.5 years, people are going to be hiding out. Jerusalem is going to be vacated. The Antichrist will have that temple there. He'll be standing there and broadcasting from there all of his words all over the world in media, multimedia. And Jerusalem and Israel will be down hiding in the desert someplace. Many people think it's Petra. And if anyone unto captivity he goes. If anyone with a sword to be killed, what do you do with a sword? Cut people's heads off with it, don't you? And with a sword he shall be killed, to be killed. And here is the patience, the hypomone, the patience of the faithful, of those with faith, the faithful saints. True justice lasts forever. The ungodly devices of this world only last for a time. But true justice is going to last forever. And we're going to get a taste of it for 1,000 years before we go into the eternal new heavens and the new earth. We're going to see how the earth should have been run all those years. You know, John Calvin tried to bring in the city of God. And Martin Luther tried to bring in Christianity and force Christianity. I mean, everybody had to tithe. Everybody had to go to church. If you didn't go to church, we're fine. In early America, every colony had a state church. And if you didn't go to church, you were fine. You were taken out. You were beaten. You were baptized to death. No dunking chairs. No stocks. They forced you to go to church. They forced religion. This is what we call state church. Baptists always rebelled against state church, didn't they? Well, the only time the state church is really going to work is there in the millennium.
Right.
Isaiah 33:1, Jeremiah 15:2, and 43:11, Genesis 9:6, Matthew 26:52, Revelation 11:18, 14:12, Hebrews 6:12. These are all references to this one. Let's go on a little further. And I saw another beast, another Thedarion, coming up out of the earth. What do you think that means? It's a man-made, isn't it? Another beast of the earth, related to the earth. And he kept on having horns, too, like a lamb. And he kept on speaking as a dragon. The second beast is quite a controversial subject. Some people say that this beast is a false prophet. Others say he is the Antichrist in a different view. Still, there are those who believe that it is the false religious system of the first beast or the Antichrist. That's what I believe it is. I believe this is a false religious system. I believe this is real Islam. I really believe that. Many people believe this to be the revised Roman Catholic Church that took power all over the world. Catholicism is afraid to speak against Islam today, aren't they? The Pope is castigated and people are killed all over the world if he says the slightest insult. In the book of Revelation, there is an unholy trinity referred to as the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. Revelation 6:1, we have that person going out on a white horse, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
With a bow and a crown. And we see him getting more vicious and more vicious and more vicious. He comes out on a white horse for 3.5 years. And right there in the middle of the week, we see him changing steeds. We see him changing steeds. There's one that's going to come out on a white horse in Revelation 19th chapter, and that's our Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wins. Adonai ha-Adonaiim, it says, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Jews always refer to the name of Jehovah, the Hashem or the Havabar, the name of God. Exodus 20 and verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for you shall be punished." You will be punished. You will not go without being punished. So they never spoke that name again, and they say, Havabar, Havabar. Later, Hashem, Hashem, the name. And when John wrote John 1 and 1, he says, N-R-K, Ein Ho Logos, which meant Havabar, which meant Jehovah. John 1:14 says, Kai Ho Logos Sarks Aganito, and the Jehovah flesh he became. And the authority of the beast, the first beast, all he does and works, dramatic present, poie, all that he does and works before him. And he makes the earth and the ones in her, dwelling down upon her, in order that they should worship and fall down to the likeness in obeisance to the beast, the first, which it was healed the plague of the death of it. This beast, this empire is revised. You get that? If it indeed is the last Colophite, 3:3:19:22, now it's revised nearly almost 100 years later, see? The deadly wound was healed. Islam says they're the ones. The death stroke, the plague, it was cured of this beast. And he performs semia, signs, and great wonders, signs great, and fire he causes out of the heaven to come down upon the earth, down in the presence of all of mankind, down in the presence, in nopion, ton anthropon, in front of the all, down in the presence of mankind. You know, Elijah one time caused fire to come down out of heaven. And the disciples asked Jesus to cause fire to come down out of heaven.
Yep.
There's going to be one time when Jesus does cause fire to come down out of heaven. But in the meanwhile, what does Satan always do? What is Satan? He's an imitator. Mm-hmm. The Lord called out a church, Satan called out 100. Mm-hmm. The Lord established one religion, Satan established 100. 1,000.
See.
Elijah called out fire from heaven in 1 Kings 18:38 and 2 Kings 1 and 10. The whole of mankind now are worshiping. And he said, and he leads astray the ones dwelling upon the earth because of the signs which he has been given to him to do, down in the presence of the beast, and saying to the ones dwelling upon the earth, to make an icon, an idol, to the beast who has the stroke of the death. And it lived. It lived again. Demon worship, demon possession, just like times of old. Emperor worship, emperor worship. Japan, when we were in World War II, the Japanese, they had kamikazes, didn't they? That took the pilot. They had airplanes that had no landing gear on them. Nothing. They never were going to come back. They're going to die on this. That was what we call kamikaze. What do we have today in Islam? We have jihadists. They go and do what? They pack themselves up with dynamite and explosives and pull the trigger and blow themselves up. Emperor worship. Emperor worship. Those people in Japan, Okinawa, all of those islands over there, the different places. My stepdad Dusty went over there. And those people, when Japan was surrendering, many of these Japanese run their swords through them, their samurai swords. They were all given special samurai swords. Samurai sword originally was folded 1,000 times with Damascus steel in a fire, in a forge. I had one of those. One time, you think you saw it, brother, right? Years ago. I had it hanging up on the wall.
Okay.
And one of them old ones, old samurai swords, is found on Okinawa. Or Iwo Jima. I think it came from Iwo Jima. Those people up there, when they won, they did not want to live any longer. They jumped off. They fell on their swords. They died. They worshiped their emperor. And when America took over, they sent MacArthur over there, and he didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do with the emperor. If I kill this guy, all the rest of these people will die to the last man. Islam will die to the last man because they are emperor worship. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Emperor worship. That's this. This is a copy of God's incarnation in the flesh. This beast is the son of Satan. He's the son of Satan. 15. And it was given to him to give spirit to the icon, to the beast, in order that it might speak in the image of the beast, that it might make, in order that as many accept, they may worship, bend the knee to the image of the beast, they shall be killed. They shall be killed. You got that, Marilyn? If you won't worship this beast, you'll have a death sentence upon you. Catholicism, for 1,000 years, would march people to the rivers and walk out in the rivers with them, and they'd ask them a question. Will you believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church or what? Have your throats cut, and down the river you will float your bodies. Most of those people were converts. Islam has gone into countries all over this world. They went into India. They killed millions. They went into Egypt. They killed millions down there. They forbid these people to speak in their own language. They killed and slaughtered. All must worship the one God. The replacement God for Jehovah. There is but one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Shema Israel. Hadavar. Eloheinu. Hadavar. Ahad. Lord our God is one. Daniel 3, 1 through 6. Revelation 13, 12. 14, 9 through 11, 16, 2, 19, 20, and 20 and verse 4 are all cross reference to this. Let's go back to the book of Daniel real quick. One more reading and we're going to turn you loose on the world. Daniel 3. Daniel, the third chapter. This shouldn't just start in the New Testament, people. Go back to the book of Genesis and we hear the whole Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, and the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And when Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble to the satraps, and the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, and the treasurers, and the county clerks, and the judges, and the magistrates, and all the rulers, and the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. What is this a type of, Brother Ray? Revelation. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, and the treasurers, and the judges, and the county clerks, and all the rulers of the province were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald loudly proclaimed, to you the command is given to the peoples and nations and men of every language. And at the moment you hear the sound of the horn and flute and the lyre and the trigon and psaltery and the bagpipe and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Does this sound familiar, what we just read in Revelation? Whosoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Except over there in the book of Revelation, they get their heads cut off. You have any questions? Carol, you got a question? Mm-hmm. Brother Ray, you got a question?
Probably a lot of questions once they go back over it.
You want me to preach it one more time? Marilyn.
I have a
Yes.
The battle of Armageddon.
Yes.
Is that just in the Middle East?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That battlefield is not even that battlefield is not in existence yet, is it?
Okay, then the tribulation is all over the whole earth.
That's the tribulation is there, and all the armies. How many people are going to go in there? How many of these soldiers out of the East are going to be there? 200 million. How many converts to Islam are there in the world? Conservative speaking, very conservative, is 1.2 billion to 1.5 billion. Do you think that they can muster a 200 million man army? That's nothing when they start them 6 and 7 years old. Jihadists are trained from the time they leave their cradles.
So it's 2 out of 6 will be...
5 out of 6 are going to be killed in the world. The world's going to be depopulated. 2 out of 3 Jews are going to die.
Okay. Then the tribulation is on the whole earth.
The whole earth, yes.
The battle
is in the land of Palestine or Israel. And that battlefield is not created yet. That battlefield will be created. It's going to be 200 miles long. 200 miles long. All right. Anything else? Brother Ray, you got a question?
No, I don't know when you said it's 200 miles long. I remember I heard something way back about if there's a fault.
Yes, there's a fault that goes right through the battle, that goes right through the Mount of Olives.
Mm-hmm.
And that fault is 200 miles long.
Right.
And I believe that that's what it's going to be. What?
I have a picture
of it, yes, of where it's going to be. Right over there, I got it. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Wade, we're going to make double use out of you. Would you dismiss us in prayer today, brother?
Again, Lord, we come again to you. Thank you so much for this lesson. Dear Father, we pray that we can digest all this stuff. These are the things that are going on today, Lord, that we need to understand more so as we see the day drawing near. These things you teach us, Father, that time is running out for many, many people, Lord. We that are saved and baptized and raised the head up, Lord, that's fine, but this world is coming to an end, Lord, and the people that are coming to the next stage, Father, it's going to be a horrible time. So help us to get motivated, Lord, to try to warn these people of the catastrophes that are going to come on this earth, Lord, and try to forewarn them, and hopefully they will listen, Father, and come to you, Lord. In the meantime, Father, well, it's going to be a bad time for many people in that period of time. So help us to keep informed and learn, and that we can educate others of this whole thing that's coming upon this earth. Christ, I pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mom, there's a lot there, brother.